William Cohen is one of America's most respected financial journalists. He is the author of several best-selling books, including House of Cards. He's long been critical of the bad behavior that plagued much of Wall Street in the years leading up to the 2008 financial crisis. And because he spent 17 years as an investment banker on Wall Street, he is an expert on its inner workings as well. But in recent years, he says he's become alarmed by what he sees as cheap shots and the ceaseless vitriol directed at Wall Street's bankers, traders, and executives, which has led him to write the new book, Why Wall Street Matters. It is published by Random House, and it is a pleasure to welcome William Cohen to the roundtable this morning. William, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe, for having me.
So let us begin with just that term, Wall Street. How do you define it, and how do you believe we should define it?
Well, of course, that's an issue I tackle early on in the book, because everybody, there is a Wall Street, of course, in Manhattan, and people think they know what Wall Street is all about, but I thought it was also important for me to define that early on. You know, Wall Street itself is now like a Disney set. Of course, no cars can drive there anymore after 9/11. There's only one major bank still located on Wall Street, and that's a German bank, Deutsche Bank, which happens to be in the old, new J.P. Morgan headquarters. They sold it after they merged with Chase. And, you know, Donald Trump owns a building on Wall Street. But basically, other than that, it's there's no really financial firms on Wall Street anymore. There's like a Tiffany's and an Hermes and some high-end stores. I think there was a BMW dealership at one point. So, you know, Wall Street, of course, is no longer on Wall Street itself, but it is an incredibly important and global business that comprises what we think of as big Wall Street investment and commercial banks, smaller community banks, that are out in upstate New York, among other places, and it also encompasses hedge funds and private equity firms and derivatives trading firms and all sorts of firms and asset management firms that are in the business of providing capital to people who want it after taking it from people who have it and want to invest it.
So you felt there was a need to tell us why Wall Street matters. Why? What had been happening over, say, the last decade that gave you pause?
Well, just to remind your listeners, and I know we've talked about this before, but I spent 17 years on Wall Street as a senior banker. And then for the last 13 years, I've been writing about Wall Street. I've written three books about Wall Street, including, two about the financial crisis. And, of course, written lots of articles and watch it very closely. And, as this 2016 presidential campaign was evolving, I mean, I was just stunned by what I would hear from the candidates on both sides of the spectrum about, how evil Wall Street is and how making it the villain of their sort of demagoguery, whether it was Bernie Sanders on the one hand, or Elizabeth Warren, or Hillary Clinton. Even Donald Trump was incredibly critical of Wall Street and his opponents for the nomination who had ties to Wall Street. So I just thought there was this incredible amount of disinformation being put forth about Wall Street. And look, I've been very critical of Wall Street in my books and in my writing. But I think it got to a point where it just made no sense anymore, because people were completely misrepresenting what Wall Street is all about and ignoring all of the good things that Wall Street does. For instance, we couldn't have the pickup trucks that we love, or the guns that we love, or the iPhones that we love, or our homes and our mortgages if it weren't for Wall Street. So I felt there was like a fundamental disconnect between people's understanding about Wall Street and what it does, and how it's not just an evil place, and Wall Street's inability to explain what it does. I think something this important, Wall Street, which is, of course, the driver of capitalism, something this important shouldn't be a secret. People should understand how it works, and that's why I wanted to write the book.
As you said, you have written very critically about Wall Street, and you You certainly realize and write about this, that the American people played a large role here in refinancing their homes and taking the money out. But over the last decade, Wall Street did do great damage to this economy, and you realize that and you accept that.
And it's absolutely true. In my two books about the financial crisis, one about the collapse of Bear Stearns and one about how Goldman Sachs managed to make it through without collapsing, it was very clear that there was a tremendous amount of wrongdoing that went on. Lots of mortgages that should never have been given to people were packaged up and sold as securities around the world, and the people who did that packaging on Wall Street definitely knew that these were not AAA investments and should never have been sold as such. And the big mystery coming out of the financial crisis is why the Justice Department under Obama did not prosecute this obvious wrongdoing. So that left, and that's still a big mystery, but that left a vacuum, and into that vacuum came politicians in Congress and regulators whose job it was to oversee Wall Street. And they decided that Wall Street, if the Justice Department wasn't going to punish Wall Street, they were going to punish Wall Street. And by the way, I completely get that. I understand that. There was a lot of anger, and a lot of people had a right to be angry, and there was a lot of wrongdoing that occurred on Wall Street. And basically, they got big bonuses and never got held accountable for their behavior. So I can understand the anger. But what was happening, unfortunately, which nobody realized it because, of course, everybody moved on to other things, is that the regulators and the politicians were really making it difficult for Wall Street to do what it does best, which is provide capital to people who want it after taking it from people who have it and want to invest it. And when you do that, what you're really doing is hurting the American economy. And if you hurt the American economy, then you're hurting the American people. And that is actually counterintuitive to what we should have Wall Street be doing. Wall Street should be helping, should be in service to the American people and in service to the American economy, and it's really important that it be allowed to operate properly without sand thrown into its gears, because that ends up hurting the American economy and hurting the American people. And I think that's what the disconnect was that I wanted to explain to people and make sure they understood, so that we can, you know, as Donald Trump is now about to reform Wall Street again and change Wall Street regulation again, we just don't let him sort of get away with doing that without requiring something from Wall Street in return, so we don't have people just, once again, as I say, driving without speed limits and without seat belts on the wrong side of the road with a whiskey bottle in their hand.
I want to get into regulation in a second, but as you talk about these gears, you do make this point in the book that Wall Street is this incredible machine. You call it a beautiful machine, this incredible machine, and that you believe that in this debate that we certainly talk a lot about what Wall Street does wrong, what it does poorly, but you believe that we do not make, and the case that you make in the book, is that we do not underscore and highlight what Wall Street does right.
Right, and that is absolutely a fact. And Wall Street, of course, chooses not to make that case for itself, probably because it would be considered too self-serving and no one would believe it. I don't know whether it's sort of like, this is a metaphor, sort of Nixon opening China in that sense, but I worked on Wall Street for 17 years. I know it in intimately, and I have written about it for another 13 years. So that's 30 years of collected insights into Wall Street. And I just felt, okay, it's not just sort of a voluntary decision. I mean, Wall Street is essential to our way of life. I mean, we live in a capitalist world, and it's not just our way of life. It's the way of life all around the world. And Wall Street is a leader in providing that capital, and it's a world leader, and other banks and other governments around the world look to Wall Street. Companies around the world look to Wall Street to raise capital for them and provide advice to them. And, you know, Wall Street wasn't good about getting its own message out, and I don't like really being put in a position of defending Wall Street. That's not something that makes me feel comfortable, but I think the American people have a right to know the good things that Wall Street does. And, you know, we couldn't have our cars, our big screen TVs, we couldn't have home ownership, we couldn't have credit cards, We couldn't have food in the grocery store. We couldn't have our iPhones. We couldn't have any number of things. I mean, I go through the example of how Apple was created and how venture capitalists first backed it, even though they were taking big risks, and then how Wall Street took Apple public, and how over the years, of course, Apple has become the biggest company in the world, and you know, the computing power in an iPhone that we can all have affordably in our pockets is extraordinary, and it could never have happened without Wall Street. That's what I mean by the beautiful machine. Wall Street enabled this to happen, and why would we want to throw sand into the gears of that machine? And that's what I think had been happening post the financial crisis, because politicians and regulators decided they should punish Wall Street for its bad behavior again, which I understand. That should have been the job of the Justice Department, and they didn't do it. So the regulators and the legislators decided they're going to do it, but now it's just gone too far. And so when you start having slow growth, we've been sort of condemned to 2% GDP growth, and that's just too slow. We need to get the machine running a little bit hotter, a little bit revved up a little more, but with proper speed limits and proper restraints, because Wall Street needs that as well.
William Cohen is our guest. The name of the book is Why Wall Street Matters, and it's published by Random House. Of course, one of the big reasons why Wall Street matters to so many of us is because our money is in Wall Street, and if we are going to retire at some point in our lives, we are going to need that money.
Well, that is absolutely true. If you have a 401k, if you have a pension, if you are invested in the stock market or the bond market, you owe it to yourself to understand how Wall Street works. You owe it to yourself, and Wall Street has done a terrible job of explaining what it does and how its own role in all of this. And again, in simple, clear-eyed terms, I put this down in the book so people can understand and educate themselves. I think it's really, people owe it to themselves. They can't just, you know, go around saying, oh my God, I've got my money in a 401k or a pension or a savings account at a bank, or I'm invested in the stock market, but I have no idea what Wall Street is really all about. But, you know, now I'm too afraid to admit to people that I don't know what Wall Street's all about because I've been invested for 20 years. I think people need to have an understanding because information is power, knowledge is power. If you understand better the way Wall Street works, then you can play a role in having a debate about what's good about Wall Street and what should be kept and what's bad about Wall Street and should be changed. And, you know, we're right at that inflection point now with Donald Trump saying he wants to repeal the Dodd-Frank law and change some other rules about how Wall Street works. But I think one of the points I make in the book is, you know, you also have to change the compensation system and the incentive system on Wall Street, because if you don't, then it's literally like giving Wall Street a Ferrari, the keys to a Ferrari, and giving them a whiskey bottle and saying, drive on the wrong side of the Taconic. I mean, it's literally a recipe for a disaster. And so that's why one of the arguments I make in the book is that we need to change the compensation system, a system I know well. I was a beneficiary of it for close to 20 years, but it is the wrong incentive because it rewards taking big risks with other people's money without any accountability. And nobody's talking about that. We need to change that. There needs to be a grand bargain between Donald Trump and Wall Street, that the great deal maker in chief in Washington, you know, make sure that there is this deal with Wall Street without just turning over the keys to the Ferrari to them.
So you're asking for a marrying of smart regulation with smart rewards and smart incentives. So how do you define that? What should the rewards, what should the incentives be?
Well, so part of what I walk through in the book, which is, you know, very, very interesting, I think, is that, you know, how Wall Street evolved. You know, there actually was a wall in Lower Manhattan when the Dutch had the New York colony, New Amsterdam, as it was called then. And there was a wall, and on the colony side of the wall, there was a trading going on, and eventually that became what is now literally Wall Street, and it ran from the East River to the Hudson River. Now, of course, there's landfill on either side, but the way all of this evolved was that Wall Street became a series of small private partnerships where partners had their own capital invested in the partnership. They had their full net worth on the line. All their decisions that they made on a daily basis were made, I believe, prudently to make sure that, that everything that they had built up, their capital in their firm and their net worth that they had built up would not be lost by something stupid that a partner of theirs would do. And that's the way the system worked for about 150 to 200 years until 1970, when one of these Wall Street firms, a firm named Donaldson, Lufkin, Jenrett, went public. And, you know, 50 years later, all of Wall Street is public. So what that's meant is that Wall Street has had the ability to use other people's money to grow their businesses. And now all of a sudden, partners, the individual, the senior members of these banks, don't have their own capital at risk anymore. They're all playing with other people's money. And so what has happened in the last 50 years and why we've had so many financial crises and financial disruptions is that people are getting rewarded to take big risks with other people's money, and they're not having, they don't have enough skin in the game. And we need to change that. We can't just let Wall Street have no regulation, no accountability, and then get rewarded to take big risks with all this other people's money. That is a recipe for disaster, as, by the way, we saw quite clearly in 2006 and 2007 and 2008.
So you believe that, that they should be more personally on the hook when something goes wrong?
Absolutely. And by the way, that's the way it used to be for the first, you know, 200 years of Wall Street's existence. It's not a foreign concept to these firms. It's in their DNA. The question is anybody going to have the leadership, the guts on Wall Street to stand up and say, you know, is either Donald Trump going to require it? That seems unlikely. So it's going to fall to the leaders of Wall Street, which unfortunately also may be unlikely, which is a real shame. But if you were a real leader on Wall Street, what you would say, okay, nobody's requiring this of me or our firm, but it's the right thing to do, and we believe in doing the right thing. Goldman Sachs, Lloyd Blankfein stood up and said that and implemented that at his firm. Every other firm on Wall Street would follow suit. And that would be the right thing to do for the American people to make sure that our economy, that, that Wall Street doesn't drive our economy off a cliff again. Now, of course, when was the last time that anybody did the right thing when they didn't have to or weren't forced to? That's sort of the question I'm grappling with as I think about this book and as I wrote this book. And it's not an easy thing to do because you can't legislate this. It has to be somebody willing to do the right thing or make a bargain with Wall Street, as Donald Trump is perfectly positioned to do. He could make a bargain and say, look, we reduce the regulation on you, but in return, we want you to change your compensation system.
So the big question, of course, is will any of this happen?
Yes, that is the big question, but that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, so that we can have this debate, so that we can have a fact-based debate, so people, all Americans can have a better understanding of the way Wall Street works, so they can't just, they won't just sit there and scratch their heads and say, oh my God, they're talking a language I don't understand. It's written in simple prose, it's clear-eyed, it's easy to understand, it's, but you know, it's not infantilizing, but it allows people to say, okay, now I think I understand what the good that Wall Street does, and I understand what happens when Wall Street has the whiskey bottle driving on the wrong side of the Taconic. I understand that. And so we've got to come up with a way to make sure that Wall Street does the things that it's really good at, which is providing capital to small businesses and big businesses that need it and want it to grow, to pay them more money, to create good jobs. That's what Wall Street does best. We have to encourage that. But we also don't want Wall Street to, you know, in its own self-interest, because everybody there is so determined to make as big a bonus as they possibly can, to drive us off the cliff again.
And, I mean, you make this point in the book, and it seems very simple, of course, that it's the right thing to do. But as you ask this question, you know, but when do we do the right thing just because it's the right thing to do?
Well, okay, I'm still an optimist. I may be a hard-nosed journalist, but I'm still an optimist. And there are, certainly is an opportunity now for a real show of leadership on Wall Street. And by the way, there hasn't been many people who are willing to stand up and be real leaders on Wall Street in the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. This is a real opportunity. I'll tell you, if I were CEO of Goldman Sachs, you know, I could take a six-month position, and I would take that position for the sole purpose of of implementing this grand bargain with Donald Trump, reforming the incentive system, making it really work for the American people so that there's no risk that Wall Street once again drives us off the cliff. And then I would go off into the sunset knowing that I had done a good thing. But since that's probably not going to happen either, I'm basically hoping that Lloyd Blankfein and Jamie Dimon and James Gorman and Morgan Stanley will do the right thing, think about this seriously, and implement a change in the incentive system on Wall Street. Because if you look back at the history of Wall Street, which I do in this book, in the last 50 years, it's been one financial crisis after another, and there's only one coherent explanation in my mind for why this has happened, and that is because people have been rewarded to take big risks with other people's money. And people are very simple. They do what they're rewarded to do. And if that's what you're rewarded to do, by God, that's what you're going to do all day. And you keep doing it until you can't do it anymore. And usually you can't do it anymore is because the markets have collapsed and we've got a financial crisis on our hands. And that's exactly what happened in 2008.
So not to add to the skepticism of a journalist, but of course, when you look at where we are right now, the market is doing really well. So doesn't that make it harder to say, okay, let's change what we're doing, because a lot of people are making a lot of money?
Look, they're actually not related. I mean, this is one of the things I talk about in the book. So the stock market, that's an equity market, and that's often, it reflects kind of the business environment, the mood, if you will, of the country. Obviously, after the financial crisis in 2008, the mood was dark. The market fell to 6,500. Throughout the course of the Obama administration, 8 years, the market nearly tripled as employment rose, as the economy picked up again, it got near 18,000. Now we're in this weird period of Donald Trump euphoria, where people think he's going to unleash endless animal spirits in our country and get everything, humming like a fine-tuned engine. And so the market is, up huge today. It's at, over 21,000. It's been an unbelievable run, but it's also been, a bit out of control. It's almost been hallucinatory. So that is sort of one aspect of what we think of as Wall Street, but I'm talking about something even bigger, and that is the ability of company, of entrepreneurs who have great ideas, people like that who want capital and need capital to grow and start their businesses or grow their businesses, who haven't been able to get it as easily. I mean, yes, the big corporations, GE, can get all the capital it wants, but I'm talking about, the stewards of the world. Can they get the capital that they need to run their business and grow their business? And I think it's been a lot more difficult in the last 8 years. And if Donald Trump does anything right here, it will be to make it possible for new businesses and small businesses to get the capital they need to grow. And that's quite apart from the stock market. The stock market is wonderful, and if you're invested in the stock market right now, you're feeling great. But guess what? You were probably feeling great in 2008 before the market went down to 6,500. So the stock market is an ephemeral thing. Unless you sell, then you haven't, perfected your gains or your losses. So, it feels good now. But I guarantee you, if there's not a grand bargain between Donald Trump and Wall Street about how Wall Street should be reformed, both taking regulations off and instituting a new incentive policy, then there will be another crack up. It's guaranteed.
The name of the book, Why Wall Street Matters. It is a fascinating history and a look forward. It is published by Random House. William Cullen, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Again, the name of the book, Why Wall Street Matters, published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.